Good morning and welcome to episode 5 of Plan B on Tip FM, where we chat with businesses across the Premier County to see how they've adapted to COVID and coped with the pandemic. This week we get the thoughts of Mary Considine, who's CEO of the Shannon Group.
About 70% decline in visitor numbers because we're very heavily reliant on the international marketplace. We had to deal with the the yo-yo effect of restrictions, opening, closing, and that's very hard on our people.
We'll also chat with Ross Gray estate agent Seamus Brown, who's chairman of the Real Estate Alliance.
I think remote working is here to stay, and that's good for counties like Tipperary, where people who would have maybe traditionally got jobs in Dublin or Cork or somewhere and can stay close to family, they can stay in their own parishes, and I think it'll be a good rejuvenation of rural Ireland.
First up this week, though, we look to the travel industry, which has been decimated both on the domestic and international markets. Alison Hyland spoke to Ross Gray native Michael Durley, who's president of the Irish Travel Agents Association, began by asking him what his predictions were for foreign travel this summer.
I think the end of this summer won't be a washout. There's a huge pent-up demand, and every travel agent in the country are getting requests for quotations and how much and what have you. So we don't see anything happening until the September time. And it looks as if, listening to Minister Coveney, that there will be some restrictions relaxed on foreign travel, and the announcement may happen in May. So it's beginning, you know, the tunnel is getting shorter at this stage. What we foresee would be possibly September, a start of bookings for people who would have maybe transferred from last year to this year and from early this year to later this year. And 22 seems to be the most popular date. From February onwards, the requests are coming through for travel all over the place, not just sun and sand. We see a lot of people looking to go to Australia. They want to see family. They want to visit friends and family abroad. It looks like the USA, that restriction from the USA may be lifted in the middle of May. There is also then the digital green passport, or the digital green certificate, and a travel pass. So there's a lot going on to help foreign travel to come closer to us. And you keep in mind that all the countries, particularly in the EU, all want tourist money during peak season, just like Ireland wants it. So all the countries are making moves to see, can they get tourists in for, say, July, August, September. So, yeah, it's been difficult for travel agents since March of 2020. Essentially no income coming in. So the government supports that are there are extremely helpful, and just careful management then of cash flow and what have you. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, we saw the folding of Joe Walsh Tours as well. Would you be concerned that maybe this could be the first of a number of maybe travel agents and other such businesses that could close as a result of what's happened and what they've had to endure during COVID?
The Joe Walsh Tours one was a unique situation, and you can't apply the same blanket to everybody across, because each individual business has its own different nuances. I think the problem primarily in Joe Walsh Tours was one of property and values of property that went down. I think they had maybe 10 million worth of properties in the company. It wasn't necessarily bad trading that forced the company to close, but that issue of property values and repayments and loans from the bank and that. It's predicted generally in the SME sector that maybe 25% of the SME sector won't reopen or will just stop trading, whatever. So we have already seen one travel agent who decided themselves they've had enough, they have their license, but they just don't want to continue trading. And all customers were paid off. And the good thing, of course, is that every travel agent is bonded and licensed. So if you've booked with a regular travel agent, not the screen scrapers, and I'll talk about OTAs, online travel agents, in a sec, but every travel agent here in Ireland is bonded and licensed. So if you've booked with a travel agent, and if anything, if they decide to close or they're forced to close, your money is guaranteed. You get your money back. So that safety net is good.
And what are the perils and pitfalls then of booking online?
The companies, where they're based, and if they have a license and a bond to operate in Ireland. And these companies, and I won't name names, that'd be dangerous, but they were the most troublesome ones last year for people to try and get refunds. So what you can have, as there have been a number of UK companies, all they did was to stick .ie onto their website, put in a Dublin phone number, and the impression was that they were an Irish company. But no, they're not. And now, because of Brexit as well, there's a query as to whether English companies that have a license and a bond in England, if that will cover Irish people. So anyone booking online needs to look in at the company, where they are based, and are they bonded and licensed to trade in Ireland.
And Michael, could I ask you finally, how do you think the industry will change going forward now coming out of COVID?
Good question. I'd love to know, and I'd set it up for myself if I knew the correct answer. I think what's going to happen, we are all going to have slimmed down versions of the companies that we had pre-COVID. And that will be, if you like, realigning to a more streamlined, economically efficient companies. Travel agents will still offer the wide range of products, the widest range of products you can get. Travel agents will still offer those. Quite a few travel agents are looking at in-house technology to process, to speed up the process of dealing with consumers and what have you. So you probably will see, you know, unintended benefits from COVID in that sense of companies, I think, will be far more efficient.
Plan B on Chip FM.
Shannon Group is a very broad remit from its base in West Clare, including management of Shannon Airport, a tourism brief which includes management of sites such as Bunratty Castle and Folk Park, as well as King John's Castle in Limerick, not to mention a property portfolio which houses a vast array of exciting companies in the Shannon area and further afield, including the Tipperary Technology Park in Thurles. Shannon Group CEO Mary Considine has been speaking to our own Michael Brophy about the year gone by and was first asked how much the challenges of Shannon Airport have dominated her daily business.
Well, I suppose if you look across our businesses, two of our three core businesses were badly impacted, both aviation and tourism. So if you take the airport last year, from once the pandemic hit us in sort of middle of March, our passenger numbers were down 92% from that period through to the end of the year. Now, overall, we were down less, about 80, because we had a good, strong start for the year. We had additional capacity coming in, so it was unfortunate, but we are like so many other businesses. So we had immediately to look at our operation. How could we manage our cost base? How could we continue to provide vital services, because we're an essential service? So we remained open for the supply of vital cargo, PPE equipment, keep the supply chains going, keep those airfield maintenance operators, you know, make sure the hangars could operate. We have 74 aircraft parked up in the airfield, for example, here today. So that just shows you the scale of the challenge. So you're trying to balance that against a complete collapse in your revenue base. So we had to take some very difficult measures, like some of our staff are on continuing layoff, which is very challenging. Reduced working week, we introduced measures like temporary pay cuts, voluntary severance scheme, career breaks. So a range of measures. We looked at all our discretionary spending and effectively stopped everything that was within our control. We looked at all our capital investments and decided to only continue with either critical safety security or strategic investments. All of the CapEx was stalled. Then we looked at our property business and said, okay, we really need to diversify our revenue base. We're very focused on, rebuilding from this. So it's about looking what are the other opportunities. So last year, even though we were in the midst of a crisis, we continued to deliver another 150,000 square feet of new property in the zone. That was really important because it attracted in new businesses like Mira GTX, Expedia, and they're going to provide significant employment in a really challenging time for this region. So that's important. And I suppose the last part is our tourism, and you mentioned it there at the outset. Our heritage business was really badly impacted. You know, about 70% decline in visitor numbers because we're very heavily reliant on the international marketplace. So again, we had to deal with the, the yo-yo effect of restrictions, opening, closing, and that's very hard on our people. You know, you're ramping up to open, you're implying all the COVID measures, and then, you know, level five comes in again and you end up closing. So all of that, it's huge uncertainty.
Just to focus on the property side of things, and you mentioned the portfolio there. I mean, there's obviously been huge talk in the last year about the impact on remote working and people looking to get out of Dublin, let's say, and to move out to the countryside. Are you experiencing that in a business sense of people trying to move away from Dublin and move to Shannon, where there in many ways is a better quality of life when living out west in the west of Ireland?
Yes, absolutely. I think that there is real opportunity there. If you look at the companies, fortunately, the diversification of the companies that we have here in this region, many of them weren't impacted at all by the pandemic. Medical device sector, the newest companies, one of them is in gene therapies. All of those are growing industries. So they haven't been impacted. So first and foremost, they're attracting high quality talent into the region. And then on top of that, as you mentioned, Michael, there's opportunities now for people that traditionally would have had to look to Dublin to get employment opportunities in the areas they're qualified for. They're now saying, well, I can actually do that job from West Clare. I can do it from Tipperary. I can do it from Limerick. And maybe, you know, when things go back to normal, I know this, we're all working remotely now, but when things goes back to normal, they could decide, well, you know, a day a week in Dublin will do me, or I can actually do my job remotely. And I know each of the local authorities in their own right are looking at remote working hubs. So I think, you know, the whole landscape for employment is changing. In the Shannon Brie zone, we have a gateway hub, and we've seen, and that was pre the pandemic, and we saw the huge benefits of that because it allowed hot desking and shared space for people to maybe not work at home, but come into an environment where the technology is there, they have good broadband, they have access to services, but they don't want to take on a full property themselves. Allows their business to start up, grow, and then maybe move into a larger space down the road. So I think people are looking at all these opportunities now, and the rollout of national broadband is going to be really important into rural locations to really try and capitalise on the opportunity that this has presented for us.
Absolutely. And I mean, to look into the future, and it's obviously been a hugely challenging year, and you've been pleading your case in many respects when it comes to the airport and the future of the aviation sector. I mean, that your heritage and aviation linked in many ways, because I'm sure the likes of Bunratty Castle, hugely reliant on international visitors as well. What would be your outlook for, let's say, the next 2 years? Is it going to be very difficult for Shannon Airport to recover to where it was, let's say at the start of 2020?
I think, you know, all the industry experts will tell you that we're looking at a slow recovery. You know, the latest numbers issued this week from ACI Europe are looking at 2025. You know, that's the period it will take us. And that's a base case. That's not the worst case to get back to where we were. So I suppose if you take that into account, that the steps we take now are really important. We need to eliminate all the huge uncertainty that's there. Because for airlines, you know, they own very expensive mobile assets. They can put them anywhere. So they need to have confidence that if they're coming back into the market, that first of all, that we aren't going to go back into lockdown again. So it's going to be really important that we all do our part to continue adopting the public health measures. We need, you know, acceleration of the vaccine rollout. And I think the news in the last couple of weeks is very encouraging. There are green shoots. And it's about trying to build on that momentum now. We are hoping, as an industry, we've all worked together. We've published the roadmap for the reopening of aviation. We've had the Aviation Recovery Task Force. And I think all of that is providing an evidence-based, roadmap to actually reopen aviation and get international travel back in a safe manner. I think people are very, very conscious of public health. So it's about doing things in a safe manner. Opening up, lifting quarantine restrictions for those that are vaccinated. So there's the adoption of the green digital cert, pan-European approach to traffic. All of those measures would be really important in restoring confidence. Airlines have lost a huge amount of money. It was estimated that $84 billion was wiped off of the revenue of airlines last year. So it will take a long time to come back for that. So that's why it's really important as a region and politically that supports are continued for the recovery of aviation, because it's really important to us as an island nation that we support our tourism industry to get back and recover and retain the skill set that we have in that industry. One of the recommendations from our task force was to significantly increase the funding available to bodies like Tourism Ireland to promote Ireland again, because we have been out there for over the last 12 months telling people, don't travel, don't come to Ireland. And we have had an incredible reputation internationally of being the Ireland of the Cape Mhíle Fáilte. So we need to make sure that when it's safe to do so, we're back out there aggressively marketing Ireland again. And we will need to make sure our airlines are, you know, are well-funded and sustainable to bring the people back into the country and to support our industries that need to get their goods to market, particularly now with Brexit. We need to have our own access into to key markets. So I think, you know, there's huge challenges there, but there's also opportunities, and it's about taking the right steps now to make sure that we recover, we rebuild from this, we recover and we come back stronger. But it's going to take time. You know, if you look for the next, the question you asked me there, this year, next year, this year, we're looking at very, very little, if any, international travel. So that's forcing us to look at our product in our heritage sites and say we need to, as we did last year, adapt to the domestic market and try and capitalize on that market for particularly the peak summer season. We need to look at continuing some of the difficult measures that we had to apply in the airport to preserve liquidity, to make sure we can trade through this and we can bounce back. And most importantly of all, airlines need to be supported, because we need them to come back on the routes. And, you know, end of the day, they're really important to restoring our services.
Absolutely. I mean, there's any amount of topics here that I'd like to delve into, but unfortunately, time getting a little bit away from us. So I just want to move on to our quick fire set of questions. Firstly, three things that people would be surprised to learn about Shannon Group.
Well, I suppose if you look to our past with a huge history in the airport, duty free, which is an international business, was actually the whole concept was founded here in Shannon Airport. Something people might know is that the special economic zones in China were modelled on the Shannon Free Zone. It was the first in the world. And that, again, has you know, grown organically all over the world, particularly in China. And it's something, I suppose, more recent past is the FMCI, which is Future Mobility Campus Ireland. And we're a partner in that. And that's been, gratefully has received grant funding to actually look at future technologies. And if you think of things like simply the driverless car, that technology and that infrastructure is now being built and tested in Shannon Free Zone, and we're a partner in that. So again, that's all really exciting stuff that the group is involved in today.
Do you have three tips for entrepreneurs?
God, that's a hard one. I suppose if you look at it, I go back to our own values. And one of our own values is around perseverance. And by God, have we needed perseverance in the last 12 months. So I think for anybody going forward, it's about, you know, keeping going, persevere, surround yourself with really good people, trust your gut, you know, and it's about, and even, you know, if something fails, that's not the end of the world. Try again, go at it another way, because there is always, where there's a will, there's a way, basically.
A favourite inspirational saying?
Well, I suppose there's one that sticks to mind with me is like, you know, keep your eyes on the stars, but your feet firmly on the ground. So
quite apt in an aviation sense as well. A best business book you've ever read?
I can't say there's the best one I've ever read, but there's one that sticks in my mind that I read quite a while ago. It was published in the late 90s. It was Seven Habits of a Highly Effective Leader. And I think it was written by Stephen Covey. And it, for me, it was all about opportunity, you know, a growth mindset. So for me, that was one that resonated with me.
Very good. And finally, what advice would you give to a 20-year-old version of Mary Considine?
Believe in what you do, stick to, as I said already, stick with your gut. And, you know, even when obstacles come in the way, you know, if you really believe in something and you're passionate about something, just keep going. Don't sweat the small stuff. You know, keep your eye on the key matters.
Plan B on Tip FM.
Next up on this week's Plan B here on Tip FM, we hear how estate agents have had to make significant changes to the way they operate because of COVID-19. Ross Gray, based Seamus Brown, is chairman of the Real Estate Alliance. He says the pandemic has impacted in a number of ways.
It has probably impacted more on it this year than last year. Last year, we were allowed to carry out viewings with a kind of a safe protocol in place, which was agreed between our regulator and the HSE. So effectively, we could view vacant properties with social distance. The prospective viewer would view the property on their own, and we would have a discussion afterwards outside. And on the 13th of January then this year, with the current level 5 restrictions, that was changed. So we can't have any physical viewings at the moment, only, I suppose, virtual online viewings and whatever photographs and details are put up online. Now, if a property is purchased without viewing it, so somebody puts an offer in, having seen the video and having seen the pictures online and details online, they pay their deposit and contracts issue. They can at that stage go and have a physical viewing of the property. But then, of course, you have a situation where having seen the property, it may not be to their liking. It may not be as they would have anticipated. And then they have the option to pull out. So you have legal costs incurred and time spent on it and so on. So it's not ideal really, Pat, but hard to buy a house really without looking at it physically, I suppose. Business has been transacted by email, by phone. It's not ideal. Our business has stepped back. There's no viewings taking place. There are people ringing. We can actually, under the current, we can put properties on the market, so we can meet a vendor. We can view the property on our own. We can take details. We can advertise the property for sale, but we can't have any physical viewings of the property. So it has very much slowed down our business. We'd probably be maybe below 50% at this stage. But as I said already, there are properties, more properties coming to market, but that won't happen until later in the year. But yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, and we're all looking forward to the day that this vaccination rollout hits 80-90%, and we can get back to some form of normality. But it's certainly very challenging in the current climate.
The housing sector has been in difficulty for a long time as regards the availability of houses, particularly in the rental market. Has it impacted even further on that, do you think?
Certain areas, again, around the country, supply has been low even before COVID. And again, it goes back to the fact, I suppose, that the hangover, if you like, from the downturn in the market back in 07, 08, and we still have an issue where properties are being sold below cost. And therefore, if you're obviously selling below cost, it's builders aren't going to build. That's still an issue. And unfortunately, the cost of a new home with all the new regulations is the price is still increasing. I spoke to someone there recently in the supply end of it, the material supply end of it, and they tell me that building material has gone up since the start of this year somewhere between 15-25%, depending on the product, whether it's timber or copper or roof material or whatever the case may be. But it's the price inflation is there, and it's going to further add to the problem.
You're what, 30 years or thereabouts in the business, I think, Seamus?
I am over 30. Okay. Over 30, yeah.
I suppose it's an Irish thing, but particularly, I think, you know, buying a house or any large thing, there's very much the personal touch is part and parcel of it, which is obviously being lost now. Do you think some of the changes will continue into the future?
No, it's still a personal business. It's still a people business. People like to meet the agent, and if the agent obviously is local to the area and familiar with the property, there's always questions that are asked of the general area, of the property itself, you know, apart from the basic details that will be provided online or in a brochure. So that point of contact is very important. It's very important, I think, for everybody, really, for the purchaser and for the vendor. And vendors obviously are happy to have a local agent with experience and knowledge of the area, knowledge of the market, and can discuss that at length then with any prospective purchaser. I suppose the other comment I'll make, just in relation to the whole COVID thing, is the one thing that has changed completely is how we work in terms of remote working. And it has really accelerated the remote working situation. And I think that that will be one thing that will continue after COVID, won't say whenever it changes or disappears or goes into the background, but I think remote working is here to stay. And that's good for counties like Tipperary, where people who would have maybe traditionally got jobs in Dublin or Cork or somewhere, and the commute was too far, so they'd have to move to those locations to work. And now they can stay close to family, they can stay in their own parishes, they can probably remain involved with their own local club if they're into sport. And it's a support then for small communities, small national schools that have been winning away with numbers in the past. And I think it'll be a good rejuvenation of rural Ireland. And that would probably be the most positive aspect of it, if there is a positive to all this.
Plan B on Tip FM.
Finally, for this week's Plan B, Tip FM's Paul Carroll takes a look at the main business news of the last 7 days.
House sales for first-time buyers are at their highest level since the Celtic Tiger. New banking figures show there are more than 9,000 drawdowns in the first 3 months of this year, the highest of any first quarter since 2009. Meanwhile, there were more than 4,300 mortgage approvals in March, a rise of 18% on the previous month and 16% year-on-year. Elsewhere, the travel industry continues to feel the effects of the pandemic. The operator of Dublin and Cork airports made a loss of €284 million last year due to the impact of COVID. DAA says just under 8 million passengers used the airports in 2020, down around 80% on the previous year. It's calling for a roadmap to exit mandatory hotel quarantine and ease travel rules as vaccination levels increase in Ireland and abroad. Meanwhile, a further €5 million in funding has been announced to improve remote working hubs. The money will go towards electric car charging points, the upgrading of disability access and improved IT facilities. There are currently over 400 remote working hubs across the country, with additional working spaces to be established in empty buildings in rural areas. Finally, in the stock market, Facebook saw a significant price increase this week. The social media giant's price rose by over 10%, following a better-than-expected earnings report for the first quarter of 2021. The company said it earned €7.8 billion in the January to March period, up 94% from a year earlier.
Plan B on Tip FM.
So that's it for this week's Plan B here on Tip FM. Don't forget to join us next Saturday morning after the 11 o'clock news, when Barrowstown CEO and Care native Dia Hearn will be among our guests.